no chairs. It's hard for me to tell. Is that okay? All right. Well, we have come to the end of the Gospel of Mark. This is message 76. And what we have here is a resurrection, post-resurrection visitation by the Lord Jesus Christ to the 11 remaining apostles. Obviously, Judas went and killed himself. But Jesus comes and visits these other apostles. So Mark says, later he appeared to the 11. Some scholars feel that this would have been Sunday night, the day of the resurrection. But we also know from John that Jesus appeared to the apostles, and Thomas was not there the first time. So Jesus could have appeared to these apostles probably in an upper room in Jerusalem. Other disciples, including women, may have been there to hear Jesus. But this is clear that Jesus is alive. He's raised from the dead. And he has a commission to tell these apostles. He has something they have to do. This is what they have been prepared for. Notice that Jesus has to bring to these apostles some tough love. He starts with a rebuke. Now, Mark and the other gospel writers don't tell us exactly what Jesus said. But what Mark tells us is that Jesus rebuked them because of unbelief and hard hearts. These men who traveled with Jesus saw miracles, saw healings, saw casting out of demons, heard and preached. These men were not believing that Jesus was alive. Now, if you've gone to a funeral, you don't go to the casket and expect that Joe is gonna get sit up and talk to us. He's dead. Resurrections are not a normal occurrence, but they have occurred through the ministry of Elijah, through Jesus twice, through Peter and Paul later on. So, while it's not a normal occurrence, Jesus had told them many times as he traveled toward Jerusalem, I will be killed by the Romans. I will be arrested and delivered by their religious leaders. But 3 days later, I'll be raised from the dead. It's 3 days from the crucifixion. And Jesus is alive. And that's what we celebrate today. This resurrection of Jesus Christ. This day we call Easter. But why is Jesus upset? Why does he rebuke the 11 apostles? Mark says their hearts are hard. Their hearts are cold. They're in a state of disbelief. They are in a state of disbelief, despite the fact that God had sent witnesses to these apostles already earlier in that day, if it's Sunday evening. Early Sunday morning, Jesus appeared in the garden to Mary Magdalene. He said to her, "Mary." And she said, "Rabbi." And he said, "Don't cling to me, but go back and tell them, especially Peter and John, that I'm alive." So there's the witness of Mary that Jesus is alive. Also, Jesus appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He told them all the law and prophets spoke about me. When their eyes were opened, they went back to Jerusalem and told the apostles. But Mark says they didn't believe Mary Magdalene. They didn't believe the two disciples. So Jesus rebukes the apostles because they have not believed the witness of the other disciples, including the women. We don't know exactly what he said. We don't know his tone of voice, his emotion. But you can see Jesus does not tolerate disobedience and unbelief. Why does he do that? Because these apostles are the foundation of the church. They must be set straight in order to receive this commission and fulfill this mission. Without the 11 apostles, the church goes nowhere. So Jesus has some harsh words and a rebuke to correct them, especially Peter. Now, we know that Jesus appeared to the apostles another time when Thomas was there, and Thomas could touch his hands and side and cry out, my Lord and my God. Possibly, Thomas is not there this time. But Mark says there are 11 apostles. So Jesus has a word to commission them. We think of Matthew 28 as a great commission. But here, Jesus' instruction leads 11 guys to go and preach the gospel. When Jesus speaks, they listen. Their fear, their unbelief is calmed. In John records that Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit and said, peace, go in peace. As my Father sent me, I sent you. What is the commission? Jesus tells these men, go, preach the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, the gospel is according to the scriptures. Jesus lived, was crucified, dead, buried, raised, and witnessed by his apostles and hundreds of others. So the resurrected Christ tells them, I have a job for you. Go everywhere and preach about me. Jesus tells them to preach the good news to every creature. Now Mark means to every human being. Jew and Gentile, pagan and religious, male and female, young and old. When he says every creature, the gospel is not for animals. My cat doesn't have a soul and doesn't need to hear it. But every person is a sinner in need of the grace of God. Every person needs to hear this good news that Jesus paid the penalty once and for all for sin. Jesus doesn't say, now do it for 1 year or 2 years and then retire. Jesus doesn't say, go preach when you're comfortable. Or as Mark was talking earlier, in the synagogue, in a quiet place, but go to where the people are and preach about me. To every creature, good news. And you know, I'm thinking about, wow, perhaps we need to prepare for the crowd. God's passing by all summer. And have some books to give. Maybe some will stop. But I can't speak in Spanish. But the opportunity is before us. Now Jesus says, preach the gospel, whether they like it or not. Because the commission comes from the King of Kings. All authority is in Jesus' hands, given to him by his Father, because he's the co-creator. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. So it's not whether the authorities say so. It's at the authority of Jesus. The world will take offense. The world is never neutral to Christ or to the Bible. Or to the things of God. Natural man does not like this. But so what? It's Jesus' authority. And so these apostles go in the name of Christ to preach the word of Christ. And they're going to turn the world upside down. And the Roman Empire is going to be Christianized very quickly. Jesus said, when you preach, everyone who hears your message and believes the gospel, that is, they hear the word of God, and come to faith, to call upon the name of the Lord, and to confess Jesus with their mouth, believe it in their heart, and they will be saved. Everyone, he says, who believes and takes up the sign of baptism as a sign of belief will be saved. There's a definite promise that Jesus says, your preaching will not return void. People will hear and believe and be saved. But Jesus also warns that those who reject the message you preach, whether Jew or Gentile, pagan or religious, male or female, to reject this gospel brings condemnation, brings judgment. This is a serious commission. It's good news to those who believe. But it's judgment and foolishness to those who reject it. Make no doubt, Jesus is very clear. I am the only one. Salvation. No sinner will be saved except through me. No other gospel. Those who reject me will die in their sins. It's a restatement of John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes has everlasting life and will not perish. It's obvious that Jesus is endorsing open-air preaching and in the synagogues and in the temple courts and wherever there is a place for one-on-one witnessing. But the commission to the apostles is go preach about me. He's not saying spend years building friendships or being missional. He says go preach. And people will hear and believe. So there's a promise of faith and salvation to all who believe. And condemnation and damnation to those who reject it. But notice that Jesus also promises that during this apostolic age, that with the Holy Spirit poured out on the apostles, the preaching will be accompanied by signs and miracles and wonders. And Jesus says, you will see the power of the Holy Spirit. And this will be a testimony to those who believe. Jesus promises these apostles, my power will be on display during this age. Not necessarily past the apostolic age in the same way. But he says to the apostles, I will do great things among you. As you preach, you will be casting out demons. You will speak in new tongues. You will be delivered from venomous snakes and deadly poisons. And sick people will be healed. Throughout the book of Acts, we see testimony that great things were done in the name of Jesus by the apostles as they preached Christ. Does that mean we should go out and drink some arsenic or go handle the rattlesnakes? No. This is not a command to tempt God and be stupid and foolish. This is a promise to these disciples. Do not live in fear. Your lives are in my hands. You can go preach under my authority. My care will be upon you. The last apostle was Paul. Acts 28 says, after the shipwreck, they were building a fire, and a viper attacked Paul. And the villagers thought he must be a murderer. The snake has brought justice, and Paul shakes it off. But Paul say, I think I'll just go handle a snake. No. But God protects his people in his way. So it's not a call to be foolish or to be a bad steward of your body. To put yourself in dangerous positions. But these apostles took up this command. From what we know, these 11 guys went all over Asia Minor, Turkey, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Galilee, into as far as perhaps India, North Africa, Egypt, Europe, with the gospel in their lifetime. As far as we know, 10 of these apostles suffered harsh deaths and were martyred for their preaching. Only John lives to an old age, exiled on the island of Patmos. But these apostles went forth, united to Christ, confident in his message, full of the Spirit, without fear of Jew or Gentile. Now, after this commission, Mark says, Jesus was ascended. Now, the Gospels all say he is ascended. But understand, Mark doesn't give us the details of time and place. It's just after Jesus commissioned him, sometime in the next 40 days or so before Pentecost, Jesus ascends. If this meeting takes place in Jerusalem, we know Jesus met the apostles in Galilee on the sea, at the Sea of Galilee, gave them breakfast, corrected Peter, re-instructed Peter to go feed my sheep. And Matthew says that after he commissioned him at the end of Matthew, he was taken up into heaven, and the angels spoke to him, "What are you looking at?" He went to heaven. He'll come back one day. So this is testified in the Gospels and in Acts 1. But Mark doesn't give us the details. He just says, after the apostles are rebuked and commissioned and empowered, Jesus' work on this earth is finished. So he's taken back up in heaven bodily, the resurrected Christ. Then Mark says he's received back into the presence of his Father. He sits at his designated throne on the right hand side, God the Father. voice, the hand of blessing and love. So it's proper that the Son of God received back with honor and love by his Father, take up his seat at the right hand, fulfilling what David prophesied in Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, that is, Yahweh said to heaven, I sit at my right hand, that I make all my enemies on the earth to be your footstool. What does this mean? It means God the Father is fully pleased with the work of his Son. He's satisfied with the redemption and atonement and the priesthood of Jesus. Again, Psalm 110 says, he will be a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And so, what do we see? Jesus disappears into the clouds. The apostles are obviously utterly amazed. You don't see resurrections and ascensions normally. So the angels tell them he'll come back. That's a promise. But meanwhile, go fulfill your commission. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, pretty soon, the Holy Spirit will come, and you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. What does Mark say the apostles did? Did they sit there in this upper room and say, gee, what's up? Was he clear about that? What did he mean? Let's have a committee. Let's teach a course on evangelism. Let's get some Bible training. Now, Mark says, these guys went out and preached everywhere, starting in Jerusalem, throughout Israel, Galilee, Samaria, and eventually to different corners of the world. And what did they preach? The good news of Christ crucified and resurrected. And Mark says that, oh, by the way, while they were preaching, the Spirit of Christ was with them, performing mighty signs and wonders that testify of the truth of the message of Christ. What a glorious end of this gospel. Jesus loves his disciples. He rebukes them, but commissions them. He promises power in their message and preaching. And his power in the Holy Spirit step forth in faith, obedient servants to the end of their lives. It wasn't easy. Some of them suffered hardship, beatings, danger. James, the brother of John, is martyred fairly early in the book of Acts. James, the half-brother of Jesus, we're told, was thrown off the temple, then clubbed to death. But because they were confident in Christ, His message, His power, they went forth boldly. And so should we. The last word, amen. So be it. We accept it. Let it happen. Amen. Do you agree with this commission? I just wanted to make one final statement. Most English versions have this section of Scripture in it with a footnote. Some early manuscripts don't have verses 9 to 20. And I want to say, you know, we're primarily using the New King James. This group of manuscripts, though somewhat later, has these verses. Later doesn't necessarily mean it's not good or reliable. An early manuscript could have been a bad copy thrown out, found in the trash heap somewhere. Whereas the vast majority of reliable manuscripts have Mark 16 and John chapter 8 in its entirety. So, we believe this is the Word of God from Jesus, a very grand commission that promises tremendous response of belief, but promises judgment to those who don't believe. And the disciples listened to Jesus and went and preached Christ. Now, the action points. You know, I'd like you to read Mark again sometime, just to refresh it. What it's taken is about 6 years to preach it. And then Jesus gave this commission to go. It's not just to the 11 apostles and Paul. Because we take up the mantle as Christ's servants 2,000 years later. The Word of God must still go forth. Yes, in personal witness and one testimony, but through the preaching of men qualified. But the question for us, are you doing your part in this great commission to bring the gospel eternal. So, and will stand before Christ. They like to say in those old DVDs, our father has a fishing business, and we're all part of it. I know we are involved, but we don't stop and say, well, I did it for 10 years. I think I'll do something else. The commission is upon us until we can do no more. And then, when this last action, do you believe in the sufficiency of the gospel? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to whoever believes, Jew or Gentile. We don't preach something else. We don't preach morals. Turn over a new leaf. Set a new direction. We preach. Repent. And believe on Christ. It's that gospel. It's that message. It's that Savior. That's the power of God. So we preach the whole counsel of God by the power of the Spirit. Amen. Mark, would you pray quickly?
Our Father, we pray that we would be obedient in this area. We would take the commission personally, go, and as we go, make disciples and do our best to teach them on what you command. Father, we pray for your Spirit to work mightily in us and in our community. Father, we pray that we would trust in the sufficiency of your word, in the sufficiency of your Holy Spirit, and the sufficiency of the gospel, the power of the gospel, that we would not lose heart. We would remember that when the sinner is connected with Jesus, there's hope, there's change, there's salvation. We pray in the name of Jesus for his glory.